Welcome to Surviving Life with the Van Billies. Today, you are hanging out with myself, Daddy Van Billy, and I am alone. So technically speaking, you are hanging out with a Van Billy. Well, Letitia could not be in studio with us today. She's got some commitments that she is taking care of. But I'd like to ask you to pray for her as and pray for me, because, you know, I've got big shoes to fill today. Bringing my other half, you know, through experience and all of that. But the topic remains the same. If you tuned in last night at 6:30, you heard us talking about the humanity in pastors. You know, this is a very important topic for me because I don't know why the Lord... No, I know why. But I still think it was kind of interesting that when I got saved and I was, you know, I knew I was called, the Lord surrounded me with pastors who would make sure I see their humanity. You know, these pastors were not just allowing me to see the holy Sunday pastor, you know, who gets things right, but it was almost like they intended on allowing me to see them being human, you know, them making mistakes. And it challenged my theology. It challenged everything I knew about ministry. And it led us to this topic today. I invite you to stay tuned and I will have a surprise for you.
It's time for the recap.
You hang out with Danny Van Billy, and I want to paint a scene for you, all right? I'm a young, upcoming DJ. I'm passionate about ministry. The year is about 2005, 2006, you know? And I meet this couple. They are missionaries. And these guys are telling me the most amazing testimonies. They would go to Russia and really reach out to the people there. And, you know, in that time, Christianity wasn't really welcomed, you know, so they would have like meetings where they weren't allowed to say where the next meeting is. And the Holy Spirit would have to tell everyone individually when next to meet. You know, so I'm just shocked at the level of anointing, the deliverances they're doing, the testimonies they do. And then they let me in their life and begin to mentor me. And I'm beginning to realize, man, these people are just human. They make mistakes. You know what? We spoke about them last night, but I managed to get them online today. And we'll be talking to Liesel Pienaar, joining us from Cape Town. Good morning, Liesel. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks, Danny. Waiting in the line at hospital.
Thank you for choosing to join us.
My next testimony in line.
Oh, wow. May the Lord touch you and continue to do the extravagant things He chooses to do with you.
But yes, He does.
But Liesel, I'm calling you today because you traumatized me, man.
I know.
Not just me, a lot of people. You know, you and your late husband, Conrad, who was just an amazing person who's gone to be with the Lord. It seems like you had a ministry, an underground ministry that I want us to discuss right now.
Mm-hmm.
Why were you letting us see the behind the scenes, girl?
Well, that was very interesting for me because, I mean, we got to Russia and the Lord told us, okay, we're going to have church on Saturday. And we look at this empty flat, we're going to have it here. And we said, who must we tell? And He said, nobody, He'll do the work.
Wow.
And I took a photo of the 80 shoes, the 40 pairs, because 40 people pitched up because they were used to going to church that way.
How does 40 people show up without you advertising?
Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can do it.
Wow.
And these people are used to listening. And I mean, the reason we landed there is because three women got together and prayed for 6 years and asked the Lord, please stop sending us evangelists. We're getting born again every week. Please send us teachers.
Wow.
And in the end of the 3 years that we were there, we were having meetings 3 days a week. And Saturdays would stretch from 12 until 8. And I would, Conrad would preach until his voice ran out, and then I would take over.
Wow.
We'd have a cup of tea and off he went again. And they would tape everything. So there are people that are busy translating those things now into Russian. Of the 40 people that we regularly discipled in the end, 17 started churches. And one is busy translating the Amplified into Russian.
Wow.
So the 40 people really went out and did big things.
Sure. Liesl, I think when people hear this, you know, they hear just the level at which God used you is and continuously uses you. We don't expect you to be human, you know. And this is my experience with you guys came, you know, because I knew anointed pastors as ones who will literally not allow you to see their mistakes. But it almost felt like you and your husband intentionally exposed people to your humanity. Why was that?
On the way to Russia, on the aeroplane, the Lord said that we may never use examples from anything except our own lives. I can't use an example of Conrad, for example. I've got to use my own sins and mistakes when I'm using illustrations. And I've got plenty of material because the flesh.
Plenty of material.
Well, there was, for example, in Russia, there was this art school that kept asking me. I started ministering on biblical admin. I found hundreds of scriptures on how to do admin.
Okay.
But they kept inviting me back. And when I asked them why, sorry, there's a baby crying in the background.
Not a problem.
When I asked them why, they said, no, it's hilarious because I keep telling them what I did wrong and how God fixed it. And for example, one of the biggest tantrums I ever threw in public was at my son's creche. And when I walked out, the Lord said, well done. And so I knew. So the next day I went back. I gave the teacher a big hug because I did it in front of teachers and the kids and the parents. So I phoned the parents and I apologized. I went back to school. And I apologized, and then I went on my knees and I apologized to the kids and told them that's not the way you talk to adults or any adults talk to adults.
Wow.
But because of that, I was invited back to do their weekly devotional for the rest of the year and led all of those women to the Lord.
Wow. I'm speechless, you know, because... no, Liesl, you need to understand that we don't give space for pastors to make public mistakes and then to also own up like that. You know, you've had a tantrum. I think a lot of people would have just maybe not showed up again out of shame and
probably.
Fear.
But that's my relationship with the Holy Spirit. He always rebukes me immediately. And I have a very, very, very acute conscience.
Mm-hmm.
So I know.
Now, you once shared a story with me about taking a couple camping with you. And through your snoring, the Lord actually touched someone's life. Can you tell us about that?
No, I snore like a sailor ever since I was a child. And so there were two things that offended this guy. I snore terribly.
Okay.
And when we went for a drive, we went driving in the mountains and it's very curvy and I got car sick.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so offended. At first he became weird and then he just avoided us for about 2 months, 3 months. And afterwards he came back and he said the Lord rebuked him and asked if he expected me to sleep 10 centimeters above the bed because he saw me when I was anointed and preaching and laying hands on people for healing.
Sure.
And he expected that to happen when I went to bed.
Now, what do you think goes wrong? Why do we put such a perfectionist standard and idea on men and women of God?
I think because people put us on a pedestal, and then we have to live up to it. Now, Conrad and I made sure there was no pedestal.
For pastor listening,
I mean, ministry is hard. If you don't tell young people that you have to have faith and grit, they're never going to make it.
But how do you choose to not live up to the pedestal? You know, how do you choose to say, you know what, guys, I will show you my ups and my downs openly?
You know what I did?
Mm-mm.
I went to Conrad and I said, Jim, I'm so flawed, and I don't think I must hide it anymore, because trying to hide it, I mean, it's like lying. You've got to keep up with your own lies, and you're going to slip up somewhere. I'd rather be open and honest and tell people what the Lord does when you, for example, repent, go back and do restoration. That's much more of a testimony than what it is to pretend that you don't sin.
Wow. Yeah, that's
I mean, even
just
now,
real.
I'm experiencing great pain. Like, I can't sit, I can't sleep. But when I speak to the Lord, I sing to myself when I'm feeling sick. I feel rougher in my mind. But everyone around me knows. Because the waiting list to do what I need is 9 years.
Wow.
I expect to get up and run before then.
Wow.
Because I've been dreaming about myself running. But they've seen me in my pain. When they see me in my healing, the testimony is much bigger.
I think that's a big statement right there, you know, that when people see you in your pain, when they see you in your healing, the testimony is much bigger. And I think for me, in my life, there's a way seeing you guys in your weaknesses helped me when I was going through my own weaknesses. So when I come back, we'll be talking about that. Liesl, you hang in there for us.
Okay.
Do not change your dial. Impact 103. You on Surviving Life with the Vambillies. Daniel Vambilly standing in for both myself and Letitia Vambilly, who's not in the building today. But I am doing something different. We've actually never had a guest on the show before, but today we are joined in by Liesl Pina. We're calling her in Cape Town because the topic, for those of you who tuned in yesterday on the show would have heard, was we are talking about pastors and the humanity in pastors. Now, I had to call Liesl and just have an open conversation with her because she was one of the first anointed men of God, a woman of God. And sorry, I'm saying men of God because they're walking, both her and the husband who's now late, who were comfortable allowing you to see their shortcomings, you know, and they would apologize and move on like nothing happened. You know, and for me, it was like, but should pastors be allowed to make mistakes? can a pastor get it wrong? And one day I found myself being in ministry, making mistakes. And guess what? It's the same people whose mistakes ministered to me could uphold me. Liesl Pina, I want
to
ask you. This is a very touchy topic, but how do you deal with people weaponizing your shortcomings?
I do have that, my family, who aren't born again. But, you know, in certain cases, I've learned to make geographical distances because that's the only way to deal with it, because it's constant.
Okay.
Never ending, never stops. They still see me as 12 years old when I hid the bread behind baby Jesus and brought all of Kruger's Bob's hands into the house. They don't see me as changed. They don't see me as more patient, more calm. I mean, I completely changed. I have colleagues that worked with me in 1990 that write to me and tell me, I cannot believe how much you've changed since you met the Lord. Because I was aggressive and I was rude. And then I met the Lord.
Where was
that? But my parents can't see that.
Where was that aggression from?
I had been sexually abused as a child. I found that out when I was pregnant with my son because I had submerged it in my mind, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to deal with it. I mean, the Lord does things with me quickly. When I have an issue to deal with, it's chop, chop. It's no 3 months brooding.
Mm.
So when I, because I saw it in a vision, as I was looking at the stomach of mine, heavily pregnant with my son, and the Lord told me to forgive right there and then, and then be baptized again. So I was baptized the next night, and then it was over. And that changed a lot of my aggressive behavior towards my husband.
Wow. So you are saying you were a woman, a pastor in ministry, but the sexual abuse you experienced as a child was affecting you, and you didn't know.
No, I didn't know what. I knew I had was aggressive towards men. I mean, it was so bad that it came out at work, and my boss wrote a report about me.
Mm.
So I knew I was, but I didn't know why. And I was praying about the why, and then suddenly I knew. So I had to deal with it. I mean, forgiveness doesn't cost much. It just means, yes, Lord, let's forgive. And getting baptized was amazing.
Now, when you bring up such a deep topic, right? Anyone who experienced you in that state, you know, would still hold that and say, you know, I met Pastor Liesl and she was this aggressive person, not knowing that even pastors are dealing with, in your case, what is called infant amnesia, which is the way our brain suppresses traumatic experiences to allow us to continue. Now, what I found and still find challenging is that in the current church space, we don't expect to find pastors who are still dealing with issues from their childhood. We expect to find you completely sorted and healed because you're on the pulpit.
Well, I know so many people that don't know that they were traumatized as kids, and it comes up later in life, and then you have to deal with it. The Lord is very gracious to me. He's very direct. I don't beat around the bush, and I think that's why the Lord doesn't with me.
Mm.
And He tells me straight, let's forgive, let's move on, let's get baptized. Bada boom, finished. And then it's done. The other people, I mean, I went to a thing when we were in Russia. I was back for a while, and we went to a camp with Donnie Butter, the gospel singer.
Mm-hmm.
And on this Sunday, someone got up to testify. And she said something, and so when she sat down, he asked, how many of the women here were molested as children? And they got up, and two-thirds of the women stood.
Sure.
And then he asked the men, and about a third of the men stood. So half of the people there had been molested as children. So people are going to walk around with pain and not understand. Some of them try to deal with it. They deal with it in different ways. But if you don't take it to the Lord, it's not healed.
Sure. Now, how does a church, and now I'm speaking, you know, because I know there's a lot of people listening and in different congregations. And they could be in a congregation where their pastor was, let's use, like in your case, molested, and is dealing with it in a way that is not popular. And he doesn't even know that the thing that's driving him, maybe the outburst of anger, come from this place of pain. Now, if you are seeing it, but you don't know what to do, but you can see your pastor is in need of some kind of help, how would you advise the congregation to bear with the pastor while still in that state?
There's only one thing you can do, and that only as individuals, because if you get together as a group, you're going to start gossiping.
That's right.
Each pray for the man. because I've seen how that works. My husband, when we were in Russia at one stage, we came back and there was a problem with our visa to Russia and it took ages. So in that time, he works for a very, very now prominent pastor. But the man made huge staff management problems. Mm. And the other junior pastors were talking about it. And my husband sat listening and he came home and he said, let's pray. And we prayed 3 days and the man came in and he said, the Lord's showing him this. Because if someone isn't praying, the Lord can't talk to the man.
Sure.
And that's what you need to do. Not talk about it, pray.
A lot of people, and this is just the language in church, you know, we say, I'll pray for you, we'll pray about it. But we don't really understand the importance of prayer.
You know, uh-huh.
What would you advise people? Because you guys were, and I need, for anyone who doesn't know, there's a time in Russia where it was not legal to have Christian gatherings. So people like you guys had to pray and the Holy Spirit had to tell individuals where to meet. And I believe because of that, you have a certain confidence in prayer. But there tends to be a lot of, you know, the modern day church where we kind of treat prayer as a byproduct. You know, worship becomes the focus.
Prayer has to be front and center in your life. If you're not waiting on God and if you're not talking to Him, then it's an empty and dying relationship.
Mm.
You can worship all you like. You need to talk to Him. He needs to talk to you. Sometimes He doesn't say much. I'm in a season where the Lord told me that homeschooling my daughter is the main focus. And He said that 5 years back. And we're almost at the end of it. And He hasn't said anything since regarding my calling.
Sure.
And then you wait and you do what you're supposed to do. And then at the near the end of it, He's starting to talk to me again and I'm starting to pray about certain things, which of course I can't talk about openly yet.
Mm.
But if you're not praying, you have a dead relationship.
Wow.
Worship is often the music that we pray to is embalmed with unbelief, as Andrew Womack would say.
Mm.
And it's all about let us do something and let us look and let us something instead of, Lord, we love you and we need to get to that too. But you start in prayer.
Mm. Well, we are with Liesl Pienaar tuning in from Cape Town. We're quickly going to go into a quick break and when we come back, we'll have our last word with her as we talk on pastors and the mistakes that pastors make. You hang out with Danny Vanbilly on Surviving Life with the Vanbillys. The Queen is not in the building today, but she will be back with us next week. But yep, the show continues and we've got Liesl Pienaar. You know, for those of you who listened yesterday at 6 o'clock, we spoke about the humanity in pastors. And I made an example there about a couple who the Lord had brought into my life early in my ministry life, which was such an instrumental thing. You know, when it was happening, honestly, I thought there's something wrong with these people because I'd only seen pastors on the pulpit. And what I saw was an image of perfection. You know, to have God bring people in my life who were now showing me the human aspects of pastors and people in ministry was very hard. You know, it broke my heart to tell you the truth. My heart was broken because I thought pastors were supposed to be perfect. But later in life, when I was going through struggles, suddenly, the Lord would point back at that couple and tell me, remember the miracles you saw with them. Remember the provision you saw, yet they were not perfect. Now, somewhere last year or 2 years back, I called Liesl and I was just telling her, you know, do you know how important you showing me your humanity was to my growth and to to me staying in ministry even when I'd failed. And that's when she actually told me, look, for us, the Lord told us that it's a part of our ministry, you know, to be that real. Liesl, I just want to maybe as we wrap up this interview, I want you to talk to pastors who are dealing with the pressure of realizing that they are not perfect.
Pastor, if that's you, it's not your pressure to carry. That's the enemy's. In the Lord, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. There's no way that the pressure to perform and the pressure to look good is, it's from people and it's from the flesh. And that comes from, it's motivated by the enemy. Take it to the Lord. Be real in front of him at least. You can't be in front of your wife, go to your closet and get in your shoe cupboard. I don't have a closet, so I sit under them. I cover my head with a blanket. Cover your head with a blanket and talk to the Lord. That's your first step. And if you need to, one of the biggest things I've learned in the past year is that there's professional help. If you need it, there are amazing Christian people out there just waiting for you. Who knows, you might meet up next to me because I talk to everyone. I found out where they are in the Lord, and then we chat, because that's what my ministry consists of. I've never had a big pulpit ministry. My ministry is one-to-one, healing people, bringing people into realizing they are good enough for the Lord, even though people reject them.
Wow. Now, for people listening right now who are not pastors, right, but they're Christians, who are trying and also failing. And now they're looking at themselves and thinking, but how can God use someone who is missing the mark like me? You know, what do you say to those people?
1 John 1 verse 9. When I discovered that verse, I was probably born again 3 days. I wrote on the next, I had a wide margin Bible. I wrote, it cannot be. And I read that verse every day for weeks. And I cried the verse. And I prayed the verse. And I shouted the verse. And the verse settled in my heart that we have an advocate who's taken and pled on our behalf. And not only that, he actually carried our sins. And for me, it was this aha moment. It was almost like when I learned how God's provision works. It was also this aha moment of realizing the love of God. He made the promises. I didn't force him to. I don't have to go about reciting promises in fear. I don't have to go out chanting like a mantra. I've got an example from this week. I lost my job when I hurt my knee. And so now I'm in the bathroom, let's be delicate, and my eye catches, because we don't have a door. It's open between the kitchen and the bathroom, very hygienic. And my eye catches the almost empty dog food. And I just went, oh, Lord, dog food. And yesterday, a woman in Meyerton phones me and says, oh, she's driving down to Cape Town for one night, and she's bringing me stacks of dog food, and then she'll give me more in September. Now, I didn't talk to anyone. I said, ach, Lord, dog food.
Sure.
But that confidence grew by seeing how God wants to be soft with me. When my husband died, the thing that meant the most to me, I was sitting and crying one afternoon, and I heard clear as a bell the voice of the Lord, and he said, ach, my girl. It's all he said. And that meant so much because it was such a word of compassion. And that's what God is. We forget who he is when we try and perform. It's not us, it's him.
Wow. The performance culture, which is honestly the pressure a lot of us are experiencing. We think if we can't do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the Lord cannot use us. And instead of us kind of looking at him to transform us, we begin to try to perfect ourselves into what we think we need to be for him to use us.
And you know, it's the person's weaknesses. He uses the person's weaknesses to minister to others because it's something they can relate to. Conrad and I led more people to the Lord, telling them how the Lord provided for us for 3 years in Russia when we went there with $100. That we led so many people to the Lord, explaining to them that the Lord would look after you. It was his promise. You didn't force him to make it. See, I learned the lesson. I could share it. Because when you have peace about the fact that God is as true as he says in his word, he does everything. You shouldn't be doing it.
Wow.
When I need work now, I mean, I'm now a freelancer. Then I say, Lord, I need to pay this much. Can you please give me a job? But I cannot sit. So then it's got to be a quick and easy job. And he's been doing it for months now, where I have just enough to pay everything, and then he supplies the rest.
Wow.
Because I know that he promised to look after me. He's my husband. I said to him the other day, husband, we need to talk about a few things. And we chatted.
I like that confidence. Husband, we need to talk about a few things.
Well, he said he's my husband for a few years. I mean, I'm 9 years down the line of being a widow.
Wow.
I've had to trust him. I've had to pay for things that were miraculous. At the beginning of the year, they told me my daughter needs 15,000 rand to be able to matriculate. Because we're homeschooling, we need this funny certificate that costs 15,000 rand. And I just sighed and said, oh, Lord. And the next day, someone phoned me and asked me if I need 15,000 rand.
Sure.
But I've built my confidence. I got born again 35 years back. So it's taken long. I mean, I don't know if you're almost that old. But my confidence has grown. Seeing God every time. I mean, he supplies dog food. Then he said, oh, Lord, oranges. Because I haven't been able to eat oranges for years. And he healed me and I can eat oranges. And then someone pitches at my house with two oranges.
I love how simple your walk with the Lord has always been. I've seen God provide for you guys at a point where you were taking care of a lot of children. You know, you'd adopted a lot of children. So for anyone listening and thinking, you know, this lady is lying, she's not lying. I've seen it with my own eyes. You know,
I've got photos to prove it.
You've got photos. And for anyone listening, God can provide your dog food. It's that God is that detailed about our needs. You know, it doesn't have to be this super big need, but the day-to-day stuff, the things that you think, you know, can I even take this to the Lord? You know, does this even bother the God of the universe, you know, to pay my child's school fees? And it does. It really
does. It's important
to him. It's important.
Job 36 says there's nothing trivial to him, and it's true. When I was going gray, and I didn't want to be gray yet, I used to henna my hair. And every month the Lord would send some random stranger with a 3 rand packet of henna because I didn't have the money. And when we had the money, he stopped.
Wow.
But it would be exactly the same color every time.
Wow.
Now tell me that's not God.
Of course that's God. Even hair dye. You know,
even hair dye.
Wow. No, Liesl, this has been absolutely amazing. We're going to quickly go into a song. I was supposed to let you go. But let me keep you till after the news. All right.
Okay.
A quick song. Please stay tuned. And I think this is so easy. You know, just easy. The Lord loves you. And he's ready to provide for you. And he doesn't need you to be perfect for his provision. We've had evangelist Liesl Pienaar tuning in all the way from Cape Town. Just a dynamic, humble soul. Beloved, I can't even share with you the amount of miracles I'd seen the Lord do in their lives. Yet they were so humble, you know. and really didn't present themselves as a special thing that God is using, but instead just human beings who are submitting themselves to the will of the Lord. You know, and having said that, I want to tell you guys another testimony. While they were in Pretoria, when they were based in Pretoria, they were taking care of about 8 children. And Impact Radio actually also, through the funds that Impact Radio was raising during that time, when giving away laptops, or I think we're auctioning them off on air, some of that money was given to them and they were taking care of children. You know, I'm bringing this up to tell you, if you listen to Impact Radio, you have no idea the amount of people, the amount of lives this radio station has touched. I'm just mentioning one that I got to see with my own eyes. I got to experience. I would go there and spend time with these children and just seeing the finances that the Lord provided through Impact Radio was really life-changing. So I want to encourage you on our WhatsApp number, which is 071-364-0376. If you want to support Impact Radio, if you want to be our Club Card member, look, a Club Card member is just someone who supports financially. It can be 100 Rand monthly, you know. And that 100 Rand, you know, we'll spend that at McDonald's without even thinking. But if you want to support the work of the Lord, you know, and people like us who are presenters on the station, you can't say, I love the Vambillies, but not acknowledge that it's Impact Radio that's allowing us the platform to connect with you. So I want to ask you, just SMS. You see how old I am. WhatsApp the number, or just the word CC, just CC to 071-364-0376. And someone will call you and explain to you how you can support this ministry, Impact Radio, you know, because it's important. And if all of us can come together and just play our part, you know, people like Liesl and many others that you might never meet will benefit through your giving. You know, I wanted to just put this there because, wow. You know, I just can't name the amounts of testimony, even just on our show, the amount of people who are being helped, who are being healed, you know, because this platform is here. In fact, I got a message that came in from Lufuna who said, blessed afternoon. Thank you for the interview with Evangelist Miranda. It was an answered prayer for me, more so that Monday. I tuned in on Impact Radio late in the day, but I believe that day the Spirit of the Lord prompted me to tune in early, and there was an answer for the support structure I had been searching for. Shalom. You know, that is the role this platform plays. You know, it's just so many people being healed, being touched, and the Lord using the radio station to reach out to them. If you're not on WhatsApp, yes, you can, you know, contact us. We've got our phone number. But, you know, speak to us if you want to support what Impact Radio is doing. All right. At this time as well, I'd like to ask you guys if you would like to send us, if you've got questions that you'd want us to touch on. I'm not sure if I'll be able to get Liesl back on the line because she is in the hospital. We're actually having this conversation and she's in hospital and she'd gone in for a checkup. But, you know, the Lord just led the both of us. We didn't plan this. You know, this was just the prompting of the Spirit this morning. But yeah, so I'm going to try to get her again so we continue speaking. So if there's anything we touched on that you want clarity on, you know, if there's any questions on your heart that you'd want me to elaborate on, I will be doing that for the rest of the show. This is a conversation, you and I talking, and maybe, you know, though the topic has been the humanity imposters, you know, you could be sitting there and realizing, wow, I'm called and there are some things in me that I don't know how to deal with. You know, if you want us to answer you, you can send us your answer again. Our WhatsApp number is 071-364-0376. You can send us all your questions and we'll see how we can tackle them. You're still on the Vambillies, surviving life with the Vambillies. That is Switch with a good friend. To all the friends of Impact Radio, all of you who support the ministry, who tune in from all over the world, we love you guys. I'm getting messages from all the way in the UK, you know. Say good morning, Danny V and Lady V. Be strong and courageous in the Lord. The Lord is with you. I am with you with prayers in the name of Jesus. Listening from the UK, thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness and unfailing love. I mean, look at that. This platform is just always so amazing. And if you've never been to Impact Radio before, I'll encourage you, you know, one day just pop in and see the station. As you enter, there's like a little, I don't know if I should call it like a monument we've built that has, it's called the 500 Foundation. There's the name of 500 people who actually sowed towards the building, the radio station itself, you know. And today, I just want to thank the Lord first for all those people, for their giving. Because sometimes you'll see a ministry standing and you don't know the history. You don't know, you know, that you know, someone stood in the gap for the ministry that you are experiencing right now. Hence, I want to encourage you, if you want to make a special donation to Impact Radio, and you know, if you've been blessed by this ministry and you're thinking, wow, you know, even if it's a once-off thing, contact us on 071-364-0376. That's our WhatsApp number. And you can just tell us, hey, guys, I want to make a once-off donation, you know, towards what you guys do. And because I've been touched, you know, I've been touched by this ministry. Now, I want us to quickly touch on something that we mentioned on the show last night. You know, I used to be one of those believers who was very passionate, like a Paul, you know, like a Paul type of guy. Where for me, everything was black and white, you know. So I didn't see pastors having shortcomings. I would even judge Bible figures like Noah. I could not understand, like, Noah, how do you build the ark and then you're drunk, you know? I know I sound so judgmental, and yes, I was very judgmental. Not really judgmental, but I put Bible figures on a pedestal, and I expected that from this pedestal, if God is using you, then you can't get anything wrong. But it's as I grew older that I started learning and seeing some things. When we read about Noah, we just see a great man being used. We don't consider that Noah maybe felt guilty, that he couldn't save all the other people who did not get on the ark. Maybe Noah wished he was a better preacher. Maybe Noah carried on his conscience the fact that if people listened to him, they would still be alive. But he was, you know, he couldn't do it. He didn't do it. And only his family got saved. And I think it's those things that the Lord sees. You know, the Lord knows the struggle of your pastor. The Lord knows the sacrifices and, you know, the things that they have to go through in their family. And that's why the Lord gives us grace. And this doesn't just end with your pastor. Also, you as a believer, sometimes you're going through a stage where you need therapy. and the Lord can see it. And the Lord creates that space for you to take a break, to get the help you need. You know, so be kind to yourself. Be kind to fellow believers. Don't leave a church because someone was angry. Or like Liesl told us earlier, where she had a breakdown at school in front of the teachers and, you know, the parents as well and the children. And she had to come back and apologize. You know, some of you, if you experience something like that with a man or a woman of God, you're not going to come back to church next Sunday. Some of you left churches because something went wrong. Are you hearing me? I'm speaking. We're having a heart to heart here. Maybe you were not meant to leave just because you saw the shortcoming in that man or that woman of God. Some of you disconnected from certain ministries. Not because the ministry didn't support you or didn't give you life, but because you saw a shortcoming in that a minister. And maybe the Lord was helping you see that shortcoming so you can stand in the gap for them, so you can intercede. Because not everyone called has everything right. Are you hearing me? And this is the pedestal problem. When we put people on a pedestal, the standard is too high. The standard is too high, my brothers and sisters. And guess what? Sometimes you also put yourself on that standard. And now you can't believe that God can use you because you have shortcomings. That's a lie from the devil. God can use you and God will use you. And I'm not promoting you just accepting all your shortcomings. I'm saying that there's a place for you to heal. There's a place for you to grow. But while that is still happening, it doesn't mean you have to walk away from God. It doesn't mean you have to walk away from your calling. You are called. You know, you are called. And I know the enemy wants you to self-disqualify yourself, but you are called.
Let peace come along.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Extra, extra.
G'day, this is Trevor. Mr. Vambili, your show, just what I've heard now, you are saying things that we're no longer hearing, but it's all the truth. We are called, and the enemy really tries to let us forget. Thank you for your show once again. Enjoy the day. Bye.
Thank you so much for that voice note from Trevor. I am so encouraged. And there's another one here that says, I'm grateful for today's interview. It's another answered prayer because I tend to think maybe I am a brother to the Lord and would not want to nag. When evangelist Liesl said she set the Lord down to talk, it truly was like the key I was missing. If I am nagging, it's all right. Abba Father doesn't mind. Thanks again for another impactful interview. And yes, it's crystal clear. I'm like Saul, and I'm working hard to be kind to myself. This is really encouraging. Thank you. Someone else earlier said, blessed morning, Brother Danny. Would you kindly have Sister Liesl leave her contact information if it's okay with her, please? Interesting conversation. Thank you so much. If any of you want to connect with her, do just say Liesl contact and we'll have that sent to you. You know, because I know it's really important to find people who can stand with you. You know, people who are understanding certain stages. And I think also something we probably missed in the conversation is that evangelist Liesl is now a widow. And, you know, it's been interesting to see her rely on the Lord as a husband. You know, so I just want to bring this up for all the widows who are listening. If you've lost your husband and you're going through a stage where things are changing financially, I've also learned that things change in your circle at that time, because, you know, couples tend to surround themselves with other couples. And it's sad to hear that sometimes when the one person is no longer there, it's almost like the person falls out of that circle. And I just want to encourage the women who are widows, who are listening and maybe trusting the Lord for provision, that there's nothing too big for your husband, who is the Lord, and there's also nothing too small for him. You know, bring your desires unto the Lord. And this is also for all our singles. You know, if you are single and, you know, you think everything must be on your shoulder, that is not the case. Ask the Lord, speak to him, and, you know, just be real. You know, don't be so formal. You heard when evangelist Liesl was speaking, you know, she was just so casual. But it's not casual, it's sensitive, it's assurance. When you begin to know that the Lord will come through, you speak to him and you ask, and you really bring your concerns on the table. And in that way, you know, you grow and you learn to trust, and you learn to really see that the Lord is for you and is able to come through for you. Now, going back to our topic for the day, which is the humanity in pastors, I want to sensitize us to something. There's something called common grace, okay? Common grace means this. There are some graces God has given to people who are common. Sometimes they're not even saved, you know? You can have a doctor who is not Christian or saved, but has the ability to advise you and help you, you know? So there's a grace on their lives that is not from being saved, that is just given to them by God when they were born, okay? It's how they are inclined to think and to operate. Now, some of you have that common grace. Maybe you are someone of order. It's just naturally you. You have to be very careful, all right, with your grace. Now, what do I mean? You can be called to walk with a pastor or a church or a ministry that are not blessed in your area of grace. Okay, so let's say they are very disorderly and you're a very orderly person. And when you walk in there, you can see the mess because your grace is in a certain area. And sometimes, you know, if you walk in pride, you'll think, oh, I'm too good for this, let me leave. But there are also times where if you walk in humility, the Lord can use that grace on your life to change certain things, you know. And, you know, change is hard, so you don't have to push it too hard, but you can introduce it. Once you've acknowledged that it's your area of grace, it's not that there's something wrong with them, it's that you are blessed in a certain area that other people may not be. You know, so you see the problem because you called to the problem. So don't just leave your church, don't just abandon people because they lack your area of grace.
Bringing you the heart of the music. Impact 103.